Morning, everyone. My name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here at Fairhaven, and we are five churches. We call ourselves Harbor Churches, and five different locations here in West Michigan with the dream of reaching people for Christ. And we say it this way. We want to help people find their way back to God. That is our mission. So if you're here for the first time or you just started coming to Fairhaven or to one of our Harbor Churches, we're super, super glad that you're here this morning. And for us that are here this morning, what a week, huh? Man, this has been some week. And if you're old enough, you remember something like this. But for many of you, that's your first experience of that. And my first experience where we get a notice, please turn your temp to 65 degrees to help with an energy crisis that's going on. And some of us are so Dutch, we actually went, I'm not sure how turning my heat up is going to help, but I'm willing to do my part in this thing. And out there snow blowing. I mean, we gave our snow blowers a workout, and some of us, we don't have snow blowers because we get exercise with our shovels. All of you, we know who you are because you look like Popeye this morning. Your arms are huge for the workout that you put in there. The kids were home. I don't know if anybody did this, but if you leave a soda in your car and the kind of temperatures we had, apparently that can happen, which is why in Michigan we call it pop. Like poof, pop. It blows up on you. And how many of us, are you looking forward to spring or what? Like, are you ready for spring? Like, man, I am so ready for spring. And apparently it's coming tomorrow. We don't have to wait very long. It's going to hit 50 degrees, which means every single one of us should be calling a realtor this afternoon, putting a sign in our front yard. Property values are about to go up because we're all going to have lakefront property as of tomorrow. And I know for me, when I start thinking about spring, especially in the midst of that, I started thinking, oh, bring some spring. And I just want to play with that a bit and just do some thinking with you. Anybody ride one of these? Are you old enough to have ridden one of these when you grew up? Like, that was the bike. And some of the younger kids around here going, that thing's a piece of junk, man. I had a BMX when I grew up or whatever kind of bike you had. But for us, that was it. Complete with a sissy bar. And if you're like, what's a sissy bar? Google it. And you'll see in the picture, you'll figure out what it is. But I had a bike just like that when I grew up. Only mine was green. And the green one actually had a name. It was called a pea picker. I mean, the brilliance of the marketing, right? Back in the 1970s. Let's call it a pea picker. Every kid will want a pea picker. And I had a pea picker. I drove the wheels off my pea picker. And then one day, I was in Jenison area, and I looked down at the Schwinn shop, and I looked through that window, and I saw the bike that I wanted. Time to put the pea picker away and trade up for something. But I didn't have the money, and so I worked odd jobs. I had my eyes set on it, like X marks the spot. That is the color. That is the bike I wanted, and I eventually made enough to buy that Schwinn Continental. Man, that was the bike back then. It was made of complete steel, weighed 250 pounds, but it was amazing. Amazing bike. And I wonder how many of us in our lives that we set our sights on something like X marks the spot. I want that right there. We had a heart set on something and we went after it. And I mean, something more than a bike or a car or a home, not things that we are consuming, something that really matters. Something that we wanted to see eradicated. Something that we wanted to see undone. Something that we wanted to see happen. Something that we wanted to dive into because it really, really mattered to us. What is it that burdens us? What is it that captures our heart? Five times a year, we around Fairhaven, and if you're new here this morning, you picked one of the five that we do this. We think about our mission. And really, we do that every single week because our mission is to help people find their way back to God. But in particular, we think about what we're doing locally, what we're doing regionally, what we're doing globally to make a difference in the world. What has burdened us collectively as a people and then as a person, how we're to give our lives to the cause of helping people find their way back to God. And so maybe if you've walked around here the last couple of weeks, you've seen these red X's that are out in our lobby and saw one of the poster boards over here just loaded up with red X's with a word on it that says end it. And it was a burden that was on the heart of some people when they thought about the plight of women and children in our world. Some estimate as high as 40 million and low estimates somewhere around 27 million. So let's go with that number. 27 million women and children in the world today that are living in some form of slavery. And like red X marks the spot, we need to do something about that. It's time, and they call it end it. On Feb 7, just a few days from now, you're likely to see some people walking around with a red X on their hand. You might be one of those people that want to do that, to put a red X on your hand, just as a way of dragging awareness, dragging this out of the darkness and into the light. We have 27 million people in the world today, bare minimum, that are living in some form of slavery, women and children, and a way of raising awareness. They're doing this end it movement. I think about the ways that we are engaged in that, whether it's our work in Syria, where we're working among some of the people that have been exploited and chased out of their country, and we want to do something to stand with those people on the other side of the world, or our work in Compassion International, where we have partnered with Compassion for 400 plus people that our harbor churches, children that our harbor churches are engaged with in sponsorship. Knowing that when we do something for a child to lift them out of poverty, when we do something for a child to sponsor them, to help them, it puts them in a safer place, less likely to be taken into some form of slavery. On the Compassion website, in fact, it says these words right here, that the children below, and if you're on the site, these words are on it. If you're on the site, you would find underneath 18 children that are already pictured with a link that you can click on and go to 18 more and 18 more and 18 more. But it says the children below live in an area that experiences higher incidence of child rights violations. These violations include child prostitution, child trafficking, physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, neglect, harmful child labor, early marriages, and harmful cultural practices. Your sponsorship of an at-risk child provides child protection, education, action planning, and an immediate response to abuse when needed. And then there's 18 children. And I looked at the picture of those 18 children, and I was taken aback. Because as I mentioned, we have 400 plus children that we are sponsoring in the world through our harbor churches. 118 of those children come from this campus right here, our Fairhaven campus. That's us. 118 children are being sponsored in the country of Uganda. When I looked at the 18 children, those that are at risk, those whose cultural practices put these children at risk, those who could find themselves in a compromised position of finding themselves off into some form of slavery, 11 of the 18 children that they put on the first group come from Uganda, from the place that we're at. We have 118 children we're sponsoring in a CDC or a Compassion Direct Center right there in Namakosi, Uganda, with 26 more children that still need sponsorship. We put an X over top of that area and said, we might not be able to do it for every kid in Uganda, but we will take this one site and we're going to make a difference among those children right there on that site. When I think about what James, the half-brother of Jesus, what James was saying about religion and the kind of religion that makes a difference in the world, I think about us. And I think about us wanting to jump into that. And here are his words that he wrote in his letter, his epistle, when he said that religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And I want to read that again. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, I'm going to guess that not too many of us will be surprised when I say that the word religion does not show up very often in the Bible. The word religion does not show up very often at all in the New Testament. What shows up a lot is its relationship, that God so loved the world, that God came to seek and save that which is lost, that God loved first and we love in response. It's about relationship, that God is longing for a relationship with his children to be restored. It's all over in the New Testament. But the word religion doesn't show up very often, so we would ask, why does the brother of Jesus, in his epistle, in his letter, actually use the word religion? What's up with that? So the culture that he lived in, it was a Greek-dominated culture. And for the Greeks, they worshipped all sorts of gods, small g gods. They had one god and goddess after another. And they were a very outward worshiping, outward expression of worship community. That was the culture that they lived in. It was the audience to which James was writing this epistle. And what would be fairly common for a Greek person, sounds a bit over the top, but for a Greek person would be, because they were religious and because their religion was an outward act to be seen by all, they would find themselves in the courtyard. You could find one person doing this in one day, pretty regular, in the courtyard praying so as to be seen by other people, praying to their God, then going and visiting a religious site, and following that, going to a temple. And the temple would always be set up for one God or one goddess, not multiple ones, to be worshipped in the same one. This one set aside for Artemis, this one set aside for another god or goddess, and they would go and worship by bringing an offering of food to appease their gods. You hear Jesus speaking. He's teaching people how to pray. Don't stand on the street corners. Don't go out in the courtyards. This is not the way your religion is meant to be practiced. But go rather into that secret place where your God is and have this heart-to-heart connection with him. Don't go into the temples. Sound the horn. Blast the trumpets. Don't make it a noise as you put your money in so it just rings and everybody knows how much you gave. This is not what it's about. It's not some outward expression. And James piggybacks on what's going on in the culture and says, let me tell you about true religion. Let me tell you about the kind of outward expression of an inward faith. Let me tell you what that is supposed to look like. It should look like caring for a widow, taking care of orphans who are in distress. This is the kind of religion that pleases the Father. It's the kind of religion that God loves. In fact, he pulls this outward expression of the Greeks in order to appease the gods or be seen by others as being a religious person. He pulls it out of some kind of vertical thing that you're doing it in order to have some relationship that has nothing to do with the people around you. He pulls it out of just doing this vertical thing, saying if all your religion does is appease some God, what good is it if it's not actually having some impact in the people that God loves? And so he said these words in the second chapter. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm
and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. James just wants to erase any notion out there that a real religion, that is one that pleases God and that God loves, a real faith that has found a secret center inside of you, he wants to erase any notion that it actually would stay there. No, those who have received mercy have so much poured into them, it pours out of them toward mercy on others. Those who have experienced the just one coming to them will fight for justice in the world. Those who have experienced God coming to meet with them will be the sort of people that will walk out humbly their life with God. True religion, it takes care of the things around us that really, really matter. In fact, James even said that it moves to a place that it keeps us, or maybe it starts in the place that it keeps us from being polluted, oneself from being polluted in the world. Like this faith has a secret center. It starts somewhere. It starts with me reflecting about my life. It starts with Christ making a pitch for me. It starts in a place where I have communion with Him and He with me. That I walk in Christ, that I get into His Word, and His Word gets into me, and that I get into Christ, and Christ gets into me. And out of that place of Christ in me, I begin to live in a different way in this world. I could use so many examples this morning of places where I've seen this happen right here in this faith community. And I just want to point to one of our staff members here. And I could point to so many others. But Jordan Stonehouse, it was probably 5 years ago now that I got a phone call from Jordan. And I was traveling down the road heading towards the Coopersville area, just about there, when I got a phone call from Jordan. I'm like, yeah, what's happening, Jordan? And for those of you that know Jordan well, you know, this is a guy that lives straight out of his heart. He has so much heart for people, so much heart for God. And sometimes that comes out in emotion. And I could hear the emotion in him. I'm like, man, you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm all right. But I really need to talk. Can we talk? And I'm, yeah, go ahead. No, man, I want to talk face to face. Can we get together? I said, well, I'm actually heading in the other direction. You need to talk right now? And he goes, if it's cool, if you can make that happen. I went, yeah, let's do it. So I did a U-turn, and I came back here to Fairhaven, met him up in my office. And it took a bit to get back here, but I met him up in my office, and he was teared up. And he began to share about this passion. I already knew some of this was in him. I just didn't know it was this deep. And it hasn't stopped. It keeps growing in its intensity. But he said, it's like God put an X over top of Wyoming, and he's shown me how much X marks the spot over here, how much these people are loved by him, and I need to join them. He and Marsha, they bought a house and moved into the Wyoming area. And from there, he became that neighbor that everybody wants to have, a neighbor like that. That when you need something, you'll go down two or three doors to go hang out with this guy and to ask him. He began to care for the people that were driving up and down the streets and just praying for people in his community. Eventually, he chased that burden from Wyoming that was on his heart. He chased it far enough that he has forged a relationship, a beginning relationship with the principal over at Gladiola, an elementary school in Wyoming public schools. And then he's mentoring a student now in that Wyoming public school, is chasing that passion. He found himself in a place where he's like, I care about these people that are just down the road that are showing up to a facility there. And it's a bar, a local bar there. And they gave Jordan a T-shirt that says Pastor Approved on the back of this T-shirt that's part of the bar. And don't judge him, all right? Because Jesus, too, he got labeled a drunkard. And Jordan's not a drunkard, but he does care about the people in that area. He cares deeply about the people. And they know him there. They know who he is. He's making a dent in that community because he has a passion for it. Started thinking about the children that go without food in that community. Hard to believe. Hard to believe in a day that we would think in our community children don't go without food. Yes, they do. And maybe some of the children that are a part of this community of faith right here too. We're living in that day and age where people actually struggle with that stuff. And it's not like it just showed up in the year 2018. It was back in the 70s too. And maybe we just didn't talk about it as much. But a snowstorm like we just had, it put children in the home that typically get fed in the school. And we moved to a place where there's maybe 3 to 5 mouths to feed, 4 or 5 extra meals, and it put cupboards empty. And Jordan just wondered, what can I do about this in our community? Went out and fed 3 families with some of the people that were connected to him. Fed 3 families and just brought food over to their houses because he cares about the people in Wyoming. Talked to our hand-to-hand ministry and had some conversation with Sherry, with Jody, and conversed about, can we get hand-to-hand in this area? They wanting it there and him wanting it there. And where would you do it? Because he's not a church, he's a guy. He's like, well, there's a group of people from our churches that are in missional communities. And then with the relationships I have in Wyoming, maybe let's just do it out of my house and begin to feed children that go hungry throughout the week. And they're forming that relationship. Why is he doing it? It's because his eyes got set on something he couldn't not step into because his heart was burdened for something he had to step into. Because X marked the spot where God was moving and God was saying, Jordan, will you join me? And with his heart, he said, I'm in. I'm in. I had a conversation this past week, actually a week ago, with a grandparent who's carrying a huge burden, watching children go through a divorce and then the grandchildren. And loving them all so much. And that story could be replicated here so many times. And saying, we are going to do everything we can to provide stability for those kids in the midst of this storm. And we're going to step up and go the extra mile for our grandkids because they matter to us. Grandparents, I just want to talk to you a second. Statistics will tell us again and again and again, and I believe it's true because I've heard it with my own ears from so many young students. The number one influencer in their spiritual faith, more often than not, it's grandparents. God has given you a special position in the lives of those young children to invest in them spiritually. And these grandparents are saying X marks the spot. I see God's X on there. He's asking us to join in. My heart is burdened. I will do everything I can for my grandchildren. You know, I actually believe that every single home, that every single family, that every single neighborhood, that every single community is better for having the right kind of religious person in there. The right kind of religion, the kind of religion that carries a burden, the kind of religion that starts out of a secret center with Jesus and then puts its eyes on the stuff that it can really make a difference in this world. It is why our mission isn't something we talk about just 5 times a year. We talk about it all the time, that we want to be the kind of people that help people find their way back to God. It's why we planted one church after another, and we're 5 churches now. It's why we have a vision for the next 5 years that we want to plant 5 more Harbor churches. Not just so we can have more Harbor churches, but because Harbor churches are filled with people who want to make a real difference in their homes, in their neighborhoods, in their communities, and the world needs more of this. The kind of religion that God our Father accepts as pure and beautiful, that's making a difference. It's why we want to plant 10 new churches in the next 5 years that aren't Harbor churches. But we get people all the time that say, you guys plant churches. Could you help us? Yeah, we'll help you. And their flavor might be a little different than our flavor, but their Jesus is the same Jesus as ours. And they want to make the same impact in this area. So whether it's Holland, Grand Rapids, wherever, yeah, we'll help. Over the next 5 years, we believe that we're going to see at least 10 partnering churches that we'll help plant. And we want to plant 100 churches in the next 5 years globally. A global plan of 100 churches. Like, really? And I think actually that one's going to be the easiest one, because we are seeing a move of God in the country of Uganda, that in Uganda alone, I believe we're going to see, in, with our partnership there, we're going to see at least 100 churches in the next 5 years. And that says nothing of Nepal or India or any of these other places, Syria, that we're at. And why would we do all that? Because a gathering of God's people with God's heart, with God's passion, with a desire to be the right kind of religious people that see the need in their local community and respond to that need is what the world needs. We put an X on that because we believe God is calling us to be a part of that kind of move, that beautiful move in this world. I got a phone call this week from my friend and one of our pastors here at Harbor Churches, from Sherry Hondard, and she began to share the response of the Bride of Christ, the church, in the midst of our polar vortex. And I want to ask Sherry if you'll come up and just share a bit of the story, and then I'll come back up and wrap it up when you're done. Let's welcome Sherry.
Good morning. I'm here just to tell you and to encourage you that hope is alive in West Michigan. The Church of Jesus Christ is alive in West Michigan. And the verses that Greg shared this morning is happening throughout West Michigan. And when the storm of this week hit, if you've been involved at all with Hand to Hand, we know that not all children celebrate when there's a snow day. Not all children celebrate because they often go home to empty cupboards and empty refrigerators. And when it's a long week of no school, those who qualify for free lunch and free breakfasts, and you need to know that what that means is if you are a family of four, you make about $32,600 or less to qualify for free and reduced, or free lunch. Reduced, it goes up a little bit. So many of us, myself included, I was concerned about those families, those kids living in this kind of weather. And so I put a call out on our hand-to-hand Facebook page, and I just said, if you are a hand-to-hand family and you are in need of food, would you please just message us? We'll see what we can do. I didn't have a plan, to be perfectly honest, but I knew we partner with 104 churches, and I knew we could get some food into the hands of people. And I am amazed. I put that on Facebook, and then TV8 picked it up and came out and interviewed us. And I just said, we just want to feed kids if their families are struggling. And the very first, Greg mentioned where we were planted churches, the very first one I got was in Walker, where Walker Harbor is. And I shot an email out to Wally, Pastor Wally. I says, can you take this family? He said, absolutely. Got some other messages as they came in. I sat at my counter at night answering and responding to message after message. One mom, Tiffany, I've recently been homeless. Three kids, we're living in a hotel. We can't get out to get food. And we tried to get food stamps, but everything is shut down. We can't get any help. And within a couple of hours, someone I called or emailed said, I'm there. A mom named Ashley, who, when the deliverer went to bring their food, they had one can of tomato soup left, three kids. And she said it was her son's 12th birthday. And when our deliverer found that out, she not only picked up a bunch of good food, and we can display some of what we've brought to the families, she picked them up Spider-Man cupcakes to celebrate. Another mom, her pipes were frozen, living in a trailer park, three kids. Van wouldn't start. I need some help. I'm desperate. Can you help? And we even had a mom in Illinois reach out to us. And it was interesting because she said, I'm from Love Park. And I said, where's Love Park? She goes, well, Illinois. And I said, I'm sorry, we only help, we're in Michigan. And I put it on my personal Facebook page that I hated saying no to this mom. And someone in this church responded and said, we don't have to say no. Iowa shipped her something, and she said, what's the zip code? And she went online, and Meijer delivered food, and a mom in Illinois is blessed. Many of you, and I can't even begin to list who you are, wanted to rise up, and you did. And you didn't. You went out in the storm, and you went and not only purchased the food, which I offered. We ended up serving over 87 families, about 400 people in total, most of them kids. And I said, buy about $50 worth, I'll reimburse you. Hand to hand will reimburse you. Not a one wants anything back. And one of the deliverers, she called me and she said, you know, I walked into this house, and please, kind of like Greg said, don't judge Jordan. I'm going to just say, please don't judge this family. One of the moms walked in and she said it reeked of marijuana. And I was sick to my stomach. But she said, I stopped and we prayed. She was with her husband. We talked to them and we just said, can we pray with you? You see, we are light in the darkness. We are hope in the midst of despair. And yes, unfortunately, they're smoking marijuana over there. But what if we hadn't gone to deliver and bring hope and Jesus into that home? And that is a reality right here in Jenison, in West Michigan. And I have seen more than ever the power of the church when we link arms and we go to the most vulnerable. Mary delivered food to a family, and I want to read a thank you note I received. I'm overwhelmed with emotion tonight. I'm beyond grateful and touched. This beautiful family came to our house this cold afternoon and delivered a wealth of fresh fruit. In the cold, all of them unselfishly went out in the cold for us. We have struggled this past year due to losing everything. We are slowly going to be on our feet one day. Unfortunately, we had no food this week due to the food trucks being closed. My kids now just finished dinner. Their bellies are full, and for the first time in several days, they'll be able to go to bed with a full belly and sleep through the night. Thank you with all of my heart. My family thanks you with all of their heart. And just know that one day, I'll be in that car delivering food to somebody who is in need. And just like that mom did for us, I will get cookies for some mom to bake with their children. Those are the stories that we have been hearing. That is what happens when it isn't just a religion. It's truly looking out for the most vulnerable. Just one more story I wanted to share with you. And it's long, but I tried to cut it out, and it's just so powerful. But I received one email from a mom, and she just said, we're kind of desperate. We have two kids receiving hand-to-hand. Could you bring us food? And this actually was a church I called in the Kentwood area. One of our church partners, they were over there like that. And she quickly responded to me, I am nearly in tears of joy right now. You have blessed our family more than you know. We were truly just expecting to receive and would have been grateful for one of the regular hand-to-hand bags of snacks and food items that usually come home on Fridays with my kiddos. The wonderful supply of groceries that were provided this evening could easily feed us for an entire week. And even more of a blessing than receiving this incredible provision of food was a tangible, real-world testimony that this unexpected act of kindness afforded us the opportunity to witness to my college-age daughter, who has recently been straying away from her faith in her grown-up journey for self-reliance. She has recently been under the impression that all Christians, including our church family, are fairly judgmental and hypocritical. She has been refusing to go to church with us and has even questioned her faith in God in general. Even this morning, my newly self-proclaimed atheist daughter said to me in one of her common angry lamentations about how and why God allows bad things to happen to good Christians. She said, Mom, you always say that God is so good and that he always provides for all of our needs. Well, right now, we need some groceries and money to pay our rent before we become homeless too. So where is his provision now, Mom? My mama heart broke at her hopeless sounding words and questions. But I still offered her the best explanation I could, explaining that his provisions and answers to our prayers will come just in his good timing, which is always perfect. And those words this morning, those words were hollow to my daughter. But tonight, after receiving this amazing blessing of food provisions right on time and when we needed it most, it provided the perfect opportunity to have an "I told you so" kind of deep and much more convincing conversation with her about the God details that we witnessed tonight and how he is always faithful in providing all of our needs. And our little mother-daughter talk, my daughter informed me that she will probably be back in church this Sunday. So I just want to thank you, church. So many of you, my personal Facebook friends, who said, "I'll do it. What do you need? I'm gone." Within hours, you went and delivered. And those of you who couldn't, you emailed me and said, "I can't get out, but I'm praying." Hope is alive in West Michigan in the lives of 87 families. But the amazing thing is the ripple effects of some of our other hand-to-hand churches. We had our South Harbor Church, which is one of our churches. They got together and packed a bunch of sandwiches and lunches and went into three trailer parks to feed kids the most in need. We had Godfrey Lee, I received, and Godwin, both schools, from the principal and the assistant superintendent that said, "Thank you." Our hand-to-hand churches came and brought a bunch of food for our families. And Harbor Life, another one of our churches in Granville, they had it on their school website. "Hey, if you need help with food, contact Harbor Life." And so they served people, they served through what I was giving them, but even more. And so I look around and I see a lot of you sitting here, and I know you helped. And I want to thank you. Thank you. I know more than ever now why Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. When we link arms, when we fight for good and justice and mercy, and we're kind and we're giving and prayerful. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to share. And keep doing it, church. Let's keep going into those dark places. Let's bring hope into despair, because that's what he calls us to do.
If that's what it means to be religious, I would love to be a super way off the charts religious kind of church. Let's be those people. Let's continue to do that good work that it might be said of Fairhaven Church, it might be said of the Harbor Churches, that their religion is the kind of religion that is pure and acceptable to God, because it cares for the widows, for the orphans, for the underdogs of this world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for what you've done this past week. Wow. That a mom would be able to pray with no real tangible belief that even that something might come through by the end of the day, but you did it by marking an X on that family and then dragging Sherry's heart into that and then others into that they might show up and say, "We care enough to bring food here." And what that might mean, even now we pray for her daughter, that one that's doubting you, would you use this moment to bless her and to have her one day being able to use that story as the moment that her life absolutely it turned upside down for you. And to that end, we give ourselves whatever it is that you lay on our hearts for your glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.